Well, there's the fanfare. That means it is time to go to the movies, and we are going to see one called A Quiet Place Part 2. Well, we're not going to go see it because Matt already has, and he's going to let us know if it is something we should go see.
Well, this represents the big kickoff to the summer theater season. And based on early box office numbers, I think people are ready to go back to theaters. It was up against Cruella last weekend. Okay. That was the kind of the big battle at the box office. But when I saw it, there were a lot of people in the theater. So I think people are ready to go back to theaters. And this is a sequel, of course, to A Quiet Place, starring Emily Blunt and her husband, John Krasinski, real life couple and couple on screen. You should see the first one before seeing the second one because you're going to be lost if you've not seen the first one. So I don't want to give too much away, but essentially it's a family on the run, post-apocalyptic, aliens have hit Earth, and the aliens respond to sound. So if you recall in the first movie, there was almost no dialogue. Everybody had to keep quiet. There was a baby that was born in the first one. Imagine keeping a baby quiet. So all kinds of ways are developed by Emily Blunt as the mother to make sure she keeps her family safe. This is a very good film. I like this one a lot. I liked it even a little better than the first one, actually. I think the stakes were higher here, and there's a lot of jolts and shocks. I jumped out of my chair twice in the movie, and I don't do that too much in movies anymore because, as I've told people, I know how movies are made, and once you kind of know how movies are made, you kind of lose the shock value when you know how something is edited together. But I did get shocked a couple times. The big key to this from writer-director John Krasinski, who played the father in the first film as well, is you're completely invested in what happens to this little family as they try to navigate through this post-apocalyptic world, try to find a way to defeat the aliens, feed their family, get to a place where maybe the aliens aren't roaming around. Cillian Murphy shows up in this film, the actor, as one of their previous friends who's also on the run. Emily Blunt, again, the mother. But the real star, I think, of this second film is Millicent Simmons, the deaf actress who's 18 years old, who plays the oldest child in the family. And she, again, has such an expressive face. She takes on a more leading role in this film than she did in part one. She really kind of becomes the de facto brave character of the family. She has to figure things out for herself. She doesn't speak. So again, that's an advantage to being around these aliens, and she is really good in this movie. She's a wonderful actress, and she really takes on a leading role in this film. So I like this film. I would call it an unsettling film. If you're going to go, be prepared to be unsettled for about 95 minutes. It's tense. It's scary. But what separates it, I think, from other post-apocalyptic alien movies is the family unit. It's really a family movie. It's about this family unit. And you get the sense of them trying to survive, trying to be on their own, trying to figure out what's going on in this world and how they can survive. And so Krasinski really narrows the film down to this family unit's survival rather than having an apocalyptic Independence Day type movie.
Shoot 'em up. Yep. Now, I think of John primarily as a comedic actor, as a comedian. How is he both as a serious actor, as a dramatic actor, and then he wrote and directed,
yes,
right?
Yes, he wrote and directed. I can't give too much away in terms of his performance in the second film. You need to see the first film.
Okay.
I don't want to give too much away in terms of where his character is in the second film and where his character is in the first film. But what I can say is he does have very good dramatic acting chops. So does Emily Blunt, of course. She cut her teeth on dramatic roles for the most part. So it was a fairly easy transition for him, I think, to do this role. What I didn't expect, what a lot of people didn't expect, was him to develop what's looking like maybe a franchise. You know, things were left hanging at the end of the first film. Go see the second film. See what you think. There's a third film coming. We shall see. So this could be developing into a very interesting little franchise on its own.
Does it seem like the kind of film that if you're going to go see it while it's in theaters versus at home?
I think so. I'm a theater guy, as you know. I think people are starved to get back to theaters. We've debated over the last year what's going to happen to movie theaters. I think that the signs are good that people want to go back to theaters. If it's 100 degrees out, they might want to go to an air-conditioned theater. I think this is the kind of film you do see on a big screen. Some of the mistakes that were made last year by Chris Nolan putting Tenet in theaters in August, he probably should have waited till now. And now we're seeing the films that were pushed back, like Quiet Place 2, Top Gun sequel, the Bond film. Those will be in the fall. The distribution companies, the filmmakers who waited until the vaccine got rolled out are now going to be rewarded with bigger box office than Tenet or Wonder Woman 1984 kind of managed to get during the COVID lockdown at theaters.
Well, I have an Oscar trivia for you this week. You mentioned that there is a deaf actress in this film and that the ability to be quiet is helpful in avoiding aliens that hunt by sound. So going back to Oscar trivia about another deaf actress, there is a film from 1986, so the 1987 Oscars, that had a deaf actress and several Academy Award nominations and a win.
Marley Matlin, Best Actress for Children of a Lesser God.
All right. What are the nominations?
William Hurt was up for Best Actor.
Mm-hmm.
Piper Laurie, Supporting Actress, I believe played her mother. It was also up for Best Picture.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the screenplay adapted from a stage play. Is that about it?
That is
Got
it. All right. All right. We've been in the movies with Matt Olien.